Blog Talk Radio.
Mr. Summer, we bless the little fool. Me a funny girl, the blessings are running up. Me a dead, me a drink out of coffee, cause I'm over and over to be.
I'm too blessed to be stressed. I'm too anointed to be disappointed. I'm too blessed to be stressed. I'm too anointed to be disappointed. I'm too blessed to be stressed. I'm too anointed to be disappointed. I'm too blessed to be stressed. I'm too anointed to be disappointed.
Right now, man, you know, say me well blessed. Inna me life, a pure peace and happiness. Inna me face, man, you can't find no stress. Me love God, so no doubt me, I confess. Jesus Christ, I'm my Lord, I'm my Savior. Jesus Christ, Him is my Redeemer. Jesus Christ, Him is my Provider. Jesus Christ, Him is my Protector. Right now, I am just the 190. I'm the 190 to be disappointed. Right now, church, I'm just too blessed. Just too blessed to be blessed. I am too blessed. I'm too blessed to be stressed. I'm too anointed to be disappointed. I'm too blessed to be stressed. I'm too anointed to be disappointed. I'm too blessed to be stressed. I'm too anointed to be disappointed. Yo, let me preach. Hey, let me wake up early this morning. Outside, no thunder and storming. But then me watch how God start performing. 5 minutes late from the storm start storming. Don't you know God is in full control? Nobody sit down in a chair with your hands full. Nobody make Satan make you feel cold. Everybody in the place, I shine like real gold. Me want everybody in the place to get hot. Like jumping upon food in a Dutch pot. I'm from the news, the devil can't touch that. Yes, they can't get back. And I'm too blessed to be stressed. I'm too anointed to be disappointed. I'm too blessed to be stressed.
Praise the Lord, and welcome to Vision. This is Evangelist Faith Reed, and I'm so glad that you have joined me tonight to study the Word of God once again. We know that your life does have purpose. Your life does have purpose. And tonight we're going to talk a little bit more about the fact that God wants you to be blessed. We started off a few weeks ago with God wants to enlarge your territory. And then we said, God wants to bless you. And tonight, I just want to talk to you a little bit about living in victory. Living in victory. And the fact that God wants you to be victorious over the enemy. He wants you to be victorious over every plan of the enemy that he has that comes up against you. I want you to know that God has already made a way for you to be blessed, to be blessed. Bow your head and let us pray. Dear Lord, I just give you glory, honor, and praise. I thank you tonight for, oh God, just blessing me once again to be able to minister to your people once again. I thank you for all those that will hear this message. I thank you for all those that are seeking to know you more. I thank you for all those, oh God, that are truly victorious right now. I pray, oh God, that you would truly touch them, oh God. I pray that you would bless their families. I pray for those listening at home and abroad. You know the desires of their heart, and I pray that you would just bless them right now. We thank you, Lord God, for over and over again you promised in your word that you would take care of us, that you would meet every need that we have. And we thank you right now for you truly have been gracious. You truly have touched us, and we are so thankful for you. Watch over your people, oh God. Heal those that are sick. Encourage those that are discouraged right now. And Father, help us to always remember to praise you and to lift up your holy name. And I truly thank you right now. In Jesus' name, amen. Dear friend, like I said, I'm so glad that you have joined me once again to study the Word of God. Truly, it is just so wonderful to be able to open the Word of God every day and to look at the wonderful words that God has written to us. These are letters, some have called it love letters, that God has written directly to us. to remind us of how much he loves us and to remind us that he wants to give us favor. And so we will start tonight with one of my favorite scriptures, which is Jeremiah 30, beginning at the 11th verse. And, of course, you are very familiar with this if you are a Bible scholar, because everyone loves these words that Jeremiah penned coming from God. It says in Jeremiah 30, verse 11, "For I am with thee, saith the Lord, to save thee, though I make a full end of all nations whither I have scattered thee. Yet will I not make a full end of thee, but I will correct thee in measure, and will not leave thee altogether unpunished." So, the Lord said that he is with you. He is with you to save you. Now, I don't know about you, but when God tells me that he is with me to save me, and he also refers to the nations and to those who have been disobedient and says he will not leave them unpunished, you know, it is reassuring to know that in the midst of everything, you know that God is there to save you. You know, in the United States, today is Memorial Day for us, where we remember those who have fallen and those who have sacrificed their lives for this country. And I was watching one of those war movies tonight that depicted one of the battles. And I watched how the young men defended each other and how they fought bravely for the freedom of the United States. I want you to know, dear friend, that when those young men took an oath to defend their country, that they took it very seriously, and they many, many times lost their lives for that oath that they took to defend the country. I want you to know, dear friend, that when God says that he is with you to save you, that is a very big promise that God assuredly will keep. When he says that he is with you, he means even till the very end, when you take your last breath, he is with you day in and day out to guide you, to instruct you, and to help you. And so, dear friend, knowing that God is there to help you and to save you should give you confidence when you walk each and every day. As you walk and face the various challenges of life, you should walk with your head up. You should walk with your heart merry and your heart glad, knowing that God says that he would take care of you, he would save you, he would help you, and understanding that God always keeps his promises. Amen. You know, dear friend, sometimes people promise you something, you know. They might promise you to come and help you at your house. They might promise to help you with your resume. They might promise you to babysit for you, or all types of things that people promise, and sometimes for whatever reason, at the last minute, the person is unable to help you. And they give you a call after you had already made plans. They give you a call and say, "Listen, you know, what I promised to do for you, I can't do it again." And, you know, it's very disappointing when someone promises to do something for you and they don't do it. Well, dear friend, when God said to us that he would save us, it is a promise that not only has he kept, but he continues to keep it. That is a promise that never stops being fulfilled, because over and over and over again, God promised that he would save us, and he does. You see, even when we're sleeping, all manner of evil can come up against us, even while we're sleeping. You know, someone can try to break into your house or all types of things. But the promise that God has given to us is that he would save us, he would help us. So even while we are sleeping, we don't have to worry about people bothering us, because even while we're sleeping, God is already on the job working on our behalf. Dear friend, Don't worry. Put your trust in God. You know, it was with a saddened heart, and I don't know if I said this already in my last broadcast, but it was with a saddened heart that I realized that Brother Shamba had passed back in January. And R.W. Shambach, I listened to as a teenager, because when I became a Christian, I listened to the radio a lot to try to catch different preachers. And Shambach was one of the people who I caught on the radio. I listened to him preach over and over and over again. He was a man who believed in miracles. And I want to say that having listened to Brother Shambach for so many years and other preachers who believed in miracles, not only did I believe what they had to say, but of course I believed what I read for myself in the Bible. And one of the things that Brother Shambach loved to say is, you don't have any problems, you just need faith in God. And dear friend, I want to ask you to memorize that, to get it in your spirit. When you have faith in God, even when you see difficulties around you, difficulties in the lives of many, focus on the fact that you already know that God is able to bring you out. Focus on the fact that you already know that God is able to perform miracles. Focus on the fact that you already know that God is able to do the impossible. When you focus on the fact that you know without a shadow of a doubt that God is able, amen, He is able to do all things, then your stress level goes way down. Why? Because you already know that the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords is on your side. And when God is on your side, dear friend, who can be against you? Because God is already in your corner. He's already on your side. The Bible says, for I am with thee. That is a mouthful. To recognize and to know that you are never alone, that God is with you even right now, that He is guiding you, He is helping you, He's instructing you. Dear friend, you know, when I read things like this, I get very excited. I get very excited because over and over again, God has proven Himself to me to be sure. And after preaching and teaching the Bible for so many years now, I have no doubt that whatever I need, God is able to supply it. And dear friend, I want you to also stand confidently in believing that whatever you need, God is able to supply every need. Amen. And when God is able to supply your need, dear friend, that means that when you need money to pay your rent or your mortgage, when you need money to pay your light bill, when you need money to give your children lunch money for school or to buy them clothing or to pay for other things that are needful, you don't have to worry. What you have to do is just ask God. And when you begin to ask Him, dear friend, He will hear and He will answer prayers. Amen. For God says, look at verse 17, or actually we'll go back to 16. Therefore, all that devour thee shall be devoured, and all thine adversaries, every one of them, shall go into captivity. Now, imagine God making a promise to you that everyone who tries to do something to you, don't worry about them because God will handle it. If they try to devour you, God will devour them. If they bother you, God will bring them into captivity. That means that they'll be stuck. He will make sure that nothing works out for them because they have troubled you. You know, I guess if you're a person who's never had an enemy, never had anyone dislike you because you're the type of person that everyone likes and everyone, you know, bends over backwards to please you, this message might not mean much to you. But if you're the type of person who has ever had an enemy or ever had anyone who was extremely jealous of you, you have to really take, you know, thought. Think about this scripture where God says, don't worry about those who try to bother you. But keep in mind that the Bible says that he will handle everything on your behalf. Look at verse 17. It says, for I will restore health unto thee. Of course, let me finish verse 16. It says, and they that spoil thee shall be a spoil, and all that prey upon thee will I give for a prey. And so, of course, we know that first and foremost, this promise was being given to Israel, that all who would try to fight against her, they would not win. But remember that when you accepted Jesus Christ as your Savior, that you were engrafted into that family of Abraham. And so when God speaks promises to Israel, we embrace those promises. When God says that he will protect his people, we embrace those promises because we know that if he can do it for Israel, that he can do it for us too. When God says that those who prey upon you, that they themselves will become prey, what he's saying is don't worry about your enemies because what they sow will be what they reap. And if they are sowing bad things towards others, then they will reap bad things towards not only themselves, but also their families. So don't you worry. He says, for I will restore health unto thee, and I will heal thee of thy wounds. God wants to restore your health, dear friend. He wants to restore those old wounds. Have you been wounded by an ex-husband? Have you been wounded by an ex-wife? Have you been wounded by a mother or a father or some other family member? Dear friend, God wants to heal your wounds. He wants to heal your wounds. Let him heal you. If you flip back to Jeremiah 29, verse 11, the Bible says, for I know the thoughts that I think toward you, saith the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you an expected end. Dear friend, your expected end is a good one. And I know that I have mentioned this scripture before, and you might hear me say it over and over and over again. God has a good expected end for you. The Bible says in verse 12, then shall you call upon me, and ye shall go and pray unto me, and I will hearken unto you. So, dear friend, not only does God have a good expected end for you, but he says that if you pray to him, that he will hear and he will answer your prayers. So, dear friend, pray. Ask God to help you because God is willing to help you. He is willing to guide you, and all he wants you to do is to put your trust in him. Put your trust in him. Dear friend, I don't know what you have been going through. I don't know what your week has been like or what your month has been like. But, dear friend, put your trust in God because he hears you. He understands your heart. He knows what you're going through. And he wants you to put your trust in him. Put your trust in him because he is going to take care of you. Hallelujah. Be encouraged, dear friend. God wants to take care of you. He wants to help you. And this is your moment to be blessed. This is your year to be blessed. Why not allow God to bless you right now? Amen. Let's look at 1 Corinthians chapter 2. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, the Bible says, and I, brethren, when I came to you, came not with excellency of speech or of wisdom, declaring unto you the testimony of God. For I determined not to know anything among you save Jesus Christ and him crucified. And I was with you in weaknesses and in fear and in much trembling. And my speech and my preaching was not with enticing words of man's wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power. Now, that's an interesting thing to note, that when we are true followers of Jesus Christ, we are going to walk in power and authority. It is not a matter of whether you are a good speaker, but do you come with power and authority? Are you walking close to God? Is your relationship with God a good one, so that when you pray for people, the power of God can be felt in them? When you pray for people, is that anointing on your life imparting to them? You see, it is not enough for us to just have good speeches, but God wants to see fruit. He wants to see that you have recognized that your life does have purpose, that he does have a plan for your life, and that you recognize that you must walk in the anointing and the authority of the Lord Jesus Christ. The Holy Spirit of God must dwell in your heart and in your mind. The Holy Spirit must be the one to guide and instruct you so that you can walk according to how God has called you to walk, which is in holiness and righteousness. Look at verse 2. It says, "For I have determined not to know anything among you save Jesus Christ and him crucified." And so Paul, when he was writing to the Corinthian church, he told them that, listen, I'm not coming to talk to you about any foolish things, about any idle things. But when I come to have conversation with you, I am coming to talk to you about the Lord Jesus Christ and him being crucified. Amen. Look at verse 3. He says, "And I was with you in weaknesses and in fear and in much trembling. And my speech, my preaching was not with enticing words of man's wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power, that your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God." So Paul was saying to the Corinthian church that when you believe, your belief system should not be with what men tell you, but you should yourself study the Word of God, pray, seek God, and walk in the authority of the power of God. The power of God should be manifested in your life. When you pray for people, they should be healed. When you encourage people, they should feel that anointing power of God. And so much so that even just 2 minutes speaking to you should encourage them, should strengthen them. Look at verse 6. It says, "Howbeit we speak wisdom among them that are perfect, yet not the wisdom of this world, nor of the princes of this world that come to naught. But we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, even the hidden wisdom which God ordained before the world unto our glory." So we know, because even Jesus himself said that there's some things that God will speak, and we might not understand it right away, because to understand spiritual things, you must be spiritual. And so when God speaks to us, he is saying that he wants us to pray and ask him to reveal his word unto us, to help us to understand what he is speaking to us, to not be, you know, a novice in the sense of just reading it without full comprehension. But do what you can to fully understand the Word of God, because this letter was written to us. It was written, the entire Bible was written to the people of God. Amen. And so once again, let's continue looking at 1 Corinthians chapter 2. Verse 7 says, "But we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, even the hidden wisdom which God ordained before the world unto our glory, which none of the princes of this world knew. For had they known it, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory." Now recognize that Paul is referring to the high priest and those who were in charge of the religious group at that time. They did not recognize that it was Jesus who had come. Had they recognized who he was, they would not have crucified him. But we know that it was necessary for him to go to the cross. And so because it was necessary for him to go to the cross, it was also necessary for them not to recognize him at that time. And we know that during the Great Tribulation, the book of Revelations tells us that there will be 144,000 of those Jews who right now have not accepted Jesus Christ as their Savior. At that time, they will. And there are many others who will also surrender their lives to Jesus. But we know that had they recognized Jesus, they would not have crucified him. And it was necessary for us that Jesus should go to the cross. Look at verse 9. It says, "But as it is written, I had not seen, nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God had prepared for them that love him." We don't even know that God has prepared some great things for us, for all those that love him. I had not seen, I haven't even seen it with my eyes, nor ear heard, neither had it entered into the heart of man. In other words, our knowledge is so minuscule that we cannot even begin to fully comprehend or fully understand what God has prepared for us. And so if there's ever a time in our lives when we get discouraged, please remind yourself that God has something good in store for you. And if you would just hold on and just believe and just trust him and just allow the word of God to really sink into your heart, then when the enemy comes to distract you and to push you down, you will not be able to go under because you will have reminded yourself, you would have reminded yourself that God has promised in his word that that something good is about to happen in your life. And when something good is about to happen in your life, dear friend, you will have joy at all times. Now, why do I say that? Because someone who has great expectation of something good happening to them right now and in their future, they do not have time to be frowning, but they're always going to have that pleasant smile on their face. Dear friend, anytime you meet me, I'll have a smile on my face. And if you ever see me sad, it will just be momentary, because that sadness will turn into joy very, very quickly, because when I just think of the goodness of Jesus, you'll hear me say this every broadcast. When I think of the goodness of Jesus and all that he's done for me, my soul cries out, hallelujah. Thank God for saving me. You will hear me say that every broadcast. So don't say, oh, wow, she said that last week. I'm telling you in advance, you're going to hear me say it over and over and over, because God is truly good. He is wonderful. He is wonderful. And the Bible tells us that we cannot even imagine what God has in store for us. And so I'm continuing in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 10. But God had revealed them unto us by his Spirit. For the Spirit searcheth all things, yea, the deep things of God. Now, for all those who say that they don't need to be filled with the Holy Spirit, yes, you do. The Bible tells you that the Spirit that God revealed them unto us by his Spirit. You need the Holy Spirit. You need to ask God to pour out his Holy Spirit upon you. You need to ask God to direct you, to allow his Holy Spirit to direct you. Say, Holy Spirit, direct me. You need the Holy Spirit guiding you. I don't know how you could be a Christian without the Spirit of God. You need the Spirit of God, because the Bible says, "But God had revealed them unto us by his Spirit." It was the Spirit of God that drew you unto God. So from the very moment that you accepted Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, the Holy Spirit was already involved in the process. Why? Because without the Holy Spirit, your heart could not have even been convicted. Because it is the Holy Spirit that convicts. It is the Holy Spirit that reminds us of who God is. It is the Holy Spirit that reveals deep secrets, deep spiritual things unto us. It is the Holy Spirit that searcheth our hearts and searcheth all things. The Holy Spirit of God, He is the one that searcheth the deep things of God. And so, unless you are connected to God and really praying and seeking God and seeking Him for His Holy Spirit and asking His Holy Spirit to direct you, there are some deep things of God that you will never comprehend, that you will never understand. Because in order for you to understand the deep things of God, you must be connected. You must have the Holy Spirit. So verse 11 says, "For what man knoweth the things of a man save the spirit of man which is in him? Even so the things of God knoweth no man but the Spirit of God." Last Sunday, dear friend, was Pentecost Sunday. And we are reminded of the book of Acts chapter 2 when prior to Jesus leaving, He told them to tarry in Jerusalem. And the Bible records that they were all in one place and one accord, and how the Holy Spirit came in as a mighty rushing wind, and it filled all the place, and they began cloven tongues as a fire sat upon each of them, and how they all began to speak in tongues and in other languages, and how the Holy Spirit was just upon them. Well, for those who don't believe that or don't think that it's still operational, how can you search out the deep things of God without the Holy Spirit? The Holy Spirit is a vital part of these last days church, because the book of Joel tells us that God would pour out His Spirit upon all men. And if God is pouring out His Spirit, dear friend, how can you not want to receive Him? How can you not want the Holy Spirit to touch you and to infill you and to overwhelm you? The Bible says, "For a man knoweth the things of a man." For what man knoweth the things of a man save the spirit of man? So, in other words, you know your own mind and your conscience that God has given you directs you, and you know your own self. And in the same token, the Spirit of God, He Himself is part of God. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. So the Holy Spirit can reveal to you the heart of God. If you want to know and understand the heart of God, dear friend, you've got to allow the Holy Spirit to direct you. Look at verse 12. It says, "Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God." Dear friend, we recognize and we know that what God gives to us is freely given. We also recognize that what we receive, we don't receive from the world, because the world has nothing good to give to us. But what we receive of God. So any time you are blessed with favor, that's from God. Anytime you are blessed where someone says, you know what, you don't have good credit, but I'm going to give you this house, or you don't have good credit, but I'm going to allow you to buy this vehicle, understand that's the favor of God, because the world is not going to give you anything. But when God opens up a door in front of you, I'm telling you, no one can close it. God will give you things that man says you are not supposed to have. But God can do the impossible. You see, when they said no, God says, "Listen, I've said yes. And if I said yes, my yes overrides that no." Dear friend, God is doing great things in your life. And He wants to do even greater things in your life. But you must begin to believe God. You must acknowledge that He is truly still on His throne, still in control, and that whatever you need, He is able to supply it. Amen. Let's read one more. Let's just finish up this chapter. The Bible says, "Which things also we speak, not in the words which man's wisdom teacheth, but which the Holy Ghost teacheth, comparing spiritual things with spiritual." Dear friend, if you're not plugged in to the Holy Spirit, you're not going to understand spiritual things, because the Holy Spirit only compares spiritual things with spiritual. And so if you are not a spiritual person, you're not going to understand deep spiritual things, because the Holy Spirit and carnality do not mix hand in hand. They do not go hand in hand. God wants you to be a spiritual person, to walk in faith, to walk in victory, to walk in peace. Amen. He wants you to understand that he is still taking care of you. Doesn't matter what it looks like. Hold on. Have faith in God. The favor of God is upon your life right now. You might think it's not, but I'm telling you, the favor of God is upon your life right now. God wants you to believe him, and he wants you to trust him. Now, let's conclude this scripture. The Bible says, but the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him, neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. So, what is the conclusion of the matter? The conclusion of the matter is that God wants to speak to you. But when you surround yourself with ungodly people and make them your best friends, it's very, very hard to hear from God, because spiritual things must be discerned spiritually. And so you cannot surround yourself with ungodly people and think that you're going to be able to hear from God, because all the idle words that they are speaking will drown out the spiritual things that God is trying to tell you. The bottom line is that spiritual things are foolishness to those who are not spiritual. And so the reason why when you talk to your friends, they just say, yeah, 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 and keep doing whatever they're doing, is because they cannot comprehend what you're trying to say, because they're not spiritual. And so first and foremost, you must invite them to accept Jesus Christ as their personal Savior. Because once God opens up their spiritual eyes, then they will be able to comprehend other deep spiritual things. The Bible says in verse 15, but he that is spiritual judgeth all things, yet he himself is judged of no man. So when you are spiritual, you're able to discern between right and wrong. You're able to discern things. You know, you're able to see what's going on around you, and sometimes God even reveals to you what's going on in the lives of others. But yet, they're unable to do the same thing with you because they're not spiritual. Only a spiritual person can understand deep spiritual things. And so I want to encourage you, dear friend, to ask Jesus to draw you closer to him so that you too can walk in the anointing and the power of God. If you don't understand about the Holy Spirit, study more about the Holy Ghost, the third person of the Godhead. Study more about the workings of the Holy Spirit, Acts chapter 2, John chapter 14, and there are many other areas in the New Testament that talk about the Holy Spirit. Understand as much as you can about the Holy Spirit, because you need the Holy Spirit leading and directing you. Look at verse 16. It says, for who hath knoweth the mind of the Lord, that he may instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. So, in other words, we don't know the mind of God. We can never become God, although some modern folks are making those types of remarks. You cannot become God, dear friend. You are a human being. You'll never become God. But understand this, that you can have the mind of Christ, meaning that Jesus lived on this earth and he walked without sin because he was fully God and fully man. And as a sinless person, he was able to do good things. He was able to heal the sick and deliver those that were bound. So having the mind of Christ means that we walk in holiness and godliness. We walk as God has called us to walk, being kind to our neighbors, treating people as we would want them to be, to treat us. Being respectful, honoring our parents, and basically just trying to obey all the commandments of God. Thou shalt not kill, thou shalt not steal, et cetera, et cetera. First and foremost, accepting Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, because when you do that, then Jesus begins to live through you, and you are not there trying to force yourself to not obey the commands of God, but it will become automatic that you will obey the commandments of God because of the fact that Jesus now lives in your heart. And so, dear friend, I want to encourage you, remind you that your life does have purpose, that God has great things in store for you, and that even now, God is blessing you. God is blessing your family. He is showing favor to you. He is extending that rod towards you. Amen. God is giving you favor right now, dear friend. Will you receive that favor, or will you pretend like you don't know that God is calling you and calling you to walk in victory? God wants to show you favor right now. Walk in that victory and walk in the call of God. And so, as we close that scripture, I want you to know that there is no better dwelling place than in God. Last week, I read to you just a page or two of Homily Grits. It's Robert Van Hoos Sr., and he has written some books called Homily Grits. I really like his devotionals, and I'm also in the process of getting ready to publish also. And so let me read you another page. This one is called No Better Dwelling Place. It says, "How lovely is your dwelling place, Lord Almighty," Psalms 89, verse 1. That's from the NIV version. It says, "When God moved his earthly dwelling place from the temple into the hearts of men, when Jesus won our victory over sin and death on the cross, he gave us a new dwelling place. No longer do we have to dwell on our past or stay in bondage to sin, death, and the devil. We are free to enjoy an abundant new life in Christ and to enjoy Jesus' friendship, joy, and love when we allow the Holy Spirit to come into our hearts. When we allow the Holy Spirit to control our hearts, he begins to the work of holy transformation by renewing our minds to make us more like Christ in the ongoing process of sanctification. We begin to dwell more and more on God's love and abide more and more in Christ. As we get to know him better by abiding in his word, we grow in our friendship with him and experience more and more of his joy and the other blessings of dwelling and abiding. That any of us would choose to lose the blessings of having the Holy Spirit's indwelling power and presence controlling us by continuing to dwell controlled by our own flesh should be a great cause for sorrow and mourning. There is nothing excellent about dwelling in a cesspool of sin and all of the consequences that will follow in this life or the next. The judgment of God is upon us all, and we dare not face it without being covered by the righteousness of Christ. May we all come to know how excellent the dwelling place of God is now and forever." And the prayer in this book is, "Father, keep me ever mindful of and rejoicing in the excellence of your dwelling place. In Jesus' name, amen and amen." Dear friend, God wants to show favor upon you, but he wants you to truly know and trust him and understand that he is with you every day, every day. Now listen to a poem out of one of those little books that are put out by the Salesian Inspirational Books. This little poem is written by Donna M. Maroney. It says, "As I walk along life's highway, I see bumps and delay. I remember that you said you'd be with me every day. I know that I can depend on you, for every word is true. My Lord, I know you'll be there and always see me through. The days may come, the days may go, and no matter where I roam, it is your love that engulfs me and leads me safely home." Dear friend, every day God will lead you, and he will lead you safely home. I want to read one more to you. This one says, "Thank you." And this one is by Anna Lee Edwards McAlpin. It says, thank God for peace the world can't give, nor can it take away. The joy that lives without our heart when trials come our way. Thank God for love, for those who care to keep his peace on earth, and for the light within our souls, confirming our own worth. Thank God for hope and the desire to make a better way, to reach the poor, rescue the lost, search for the ones who stray. Thank God his gift abides with us. It grows and reaches far to mend and heal this human race, removing guilty scar. Thank God our Lord, his Son with us, empowers us to be his voice, his hands, his peace, his love, hope for eternity. Dear friend, God uses your hands, your feet. He uses your voice to go out and tell others about Jesus Christ. Let it be said when you stand before God on Judgment Day that you did all that you could to bring others into the kingdom. Dear friend, God is calling you right now to surrender your life, your talent, your everything to God for him to use it for his glory and his honor. As we close another lesson, dear friend, I want you to know that God truly loves you. He cares about you. He cares about your family. And I want you to know that this is truly your season to be blessed. Don't let anyone say anything else to you that is contrary, because this is your season to be blessed. We'll close with our usual scripture, Romans 10, verse 9 and 10, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God has raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. And our closing thoughts are, persistence is the key. Smile anyhow. Don't give up. There's no such thing as can't. And what you believe, you can achieve. Dear friend, I don't know what you have been trying to achieve, but I want you to know that your blessing is right around the corner. Don't give up now, dear friend. You are too close to your blessing. Bow your head and let us pray. Dear Lord, we just give you glory, honor, and praise. I bless you right now. I honor you. Thank you, God, for all that you have done for us, for all the things that you're about to do in our lives. We honor you, Lord, and we praise you. I pray for those that are listening from Kenya, those that are listening from Yucatan, those that are listening, oh God, from the Caribbean countries, those that are listening in Central America, in all the different Central American cities. God, I pray for those that are listening in Asia, India, and all of the other African nations. Pray for those that are listening from the UK, oh God, from London and different places. Oh God, we appreciate you, God. We pray for your people in Russia, oh God, in all over Europe, Lord Jesus. We pray for those in the United States, Lord. Father, oh God, in all the different states, Lord God, we pray that you'll remember each and every one. God, those listening from Nebraska and Georgia, Florida, Father, all over, bless all your people, Lord. I thank you for the many miraculous things that you have done. Shatoko sheketa tororobo shiteta. Someone is listening right now, God, that has a tumor growing in their large intestine. God, I thank you for healing right now. I thank you for delivering right now. God, that tumor is leaving their body right now. I thank you, Lord God, someone who has just been diagnosed with lung cancer. Father God, you're healing them right now. Someone who's just been diagnosed, God, with HIV, or someone who's been suffering for years, oh God, with it. Heal them right now, God, touch their bodies. Someone is, God, trying to have their eyesight restored, God. I pray, oh God, that you would touch them right now. I know that you're able to restore eyesight right now. I know that you're able to heal right now. Father, I give you glory, honor, and praise. I know that you're able, oh God, to do it. I take authority over that spirit of blindness right now. And I thank you, God, that your son and your daughter is being healed right now. I thank you for doing it. I give you glory, honor, and praise right now. Bless your people, I pray. And I thank you for blessing them. In Jesus' name, amen. I hope that you are ready because God is doing great things. Second Chance Ministries, Lord, I'm ready. Are you truly ready for God to do the great things in your life? Understand that God wants you to be ready because he is coming soon and very soon, and you must be ready to meet him. So make a decision right now to make your decision to serve the Lord Jesus Christ, because truly God is ready to bless you. Don't be stressed out, dear friend. Let the Lord bless you. Let him direct you. Second Chance Ministries, too blessed to be stressed.
Next time I will bless the little fool. Me a running out of the blessings are running back. Me a dead. Imagine cause I'm tossing out the cup around what I want to be.
I'm too blessed to be stressed. I'm too anointed to be disappointed. I'm too blessed to be stressed. I'm too anointed to be disappointed. I'm too blessed to be stressed. I'm too anointed to be disappointed. I'm too blessed to be stressed. I'm too anointed.
I'm in the free. Right now, man, you know, say me well blessed. In my life, a pure peace and happiness. In my face, man, you can't find no stress. Me love God, so no doubt me, I confess. Jesus Christ, I'm my Lord, I'm my Savior. Jesus Christ, him is my Redeemer. Jesus Christ, him is my Provider. Jesus Christ, him is my Protector. Right now, I am just the one I'm the one I'm just the one.